Okay. We're in Great Controversy, page 557. The first real paragraph on the page starts off with the apostles, as personated by these living spirits, are made to contradict what they wrote at the dictation of the Holy Spirit when on earth. Let me backtrack just a little bit. Let's see. Okay, good, here. She's more or less talking about how Satan has some of his corrupt servants. And she says, by representing the basest of men as in heaven and highly exalted there, Satan says to the world, no matter how wicked you are, no matter whether you believe or disbelieve God in the Bible, live as you please. Heaven is your home. That's today's theology, by the way. I even heard some Baptist preachers recently saying that God doesn't send anybody to hell. He's just too loving. They have to say that now because homosexual marriage is legalized. They have no other recourse. The 501c3 prevents them from preaching the truth anyway. If they get up there and say it's a sin, they lose their tax-free status. Well, to, you know, sales tax anyway. Their income tax is already guaranteed tax-free from the Constitution, but they want them toys. So she says, the spiritualist teachers virtually declare, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? Malachi chapter 2:17, right? So she says, she's quoting Isaiah 5:20. She says, saith the word of God, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, but that put darkness for light and light for darkness. That is today's world. That's all the preachers out there now with the 501c3. And this includes the ninth hour, Seventh-day Adventist pastors. And this is why that holy war page on my website keeps growing. I just got an email, or not an email, somebody asked me a question in the YouTube video I just put up in regards to Steve Wahlberg. That person wanted some information in regards to some videos that he made. And I didn't even bother watching the videos because the guy's 501c3. And so I made a little section on the Holy War page all about Steve Wahlberg. You can't trust these guys with the 501c3 because how can they preach prophecy? All they're doing is they're echoing the old standards that have already been studied up. Or even the new recent standards that have been studied up because obedient Christians have already seen what they've seen and preached the truth, and now they get wind of it, and then they put it in their own words and get up their neck like they know what they're talking about. Well, in fact, they can't, because the Bible says they can't. And this is why I put the links in there in regards to how to understand prophecy.htm, that one page on the website. So she says the apostles, this is where we started off a minute ago, she says the apostles, as personated by these lying spirits, are made to contradict what they wrote at the dictation of the Holy Spirit when on earth. Kind of like the way the Quran is written. The new light supersedes the old. In other words, if you read something that was 1,000 years old and then you read something that was 500 years old, the stuff that's 500 years old is the truth. Where's the difference between that and Catholicism, too? Have you ever seen the dogmatic statements of Rome through history and how they change? These so-called infallible popes keep correcting each other? Hey, I thought these guys were infallible. How's it? Oh, all of a sudden he's an anti-pope. Okay, that's convenient. But you didn't know that for 500-600 years after the guy died? Well, that's just par for the course when it comes to lies. You got to keep changing the game. Keep changing the players on the board. She says, they deny the divine origin of the Bible and thus tear away the foundation of the Christian's hope and put out that the light that reveals, and put out the light that reveals the way to heaven. And this is why you see the one God theists or the feast day preachers, the 7-year tribs, eternal life and hellfire, secret rapture, all of it. Sunday Sabbath too, of course. She says Satan is making the world believe that the Bible is a mere fiction, or at least a book suited for to the infancy of the race. Did you get that? Satan is making the world believe that the Bible is a mere fiction, or at least a book suited to the infancy of the race, but now to be lightly regarded or cast aside as obsolete, or, as the Quran is written, new light supersedes old. Same thing, same theology. Isn't that neat? She said that over 100 years ago. And the Quran is now letting people let the truth out of the bag in regards to how that's how they've been teaching all along. And when it comes to the Bible's a mere fiction, I don't know how many Roman Catholics, and some of them, my own siblings, have stated that Adam and Eve is a myth. Well, you do realize that they're mentioned in Genesis, right? Well, it's still a myth. Well, then the entire Bible's bogus. But then that's how Catholicism lives and breathes on this planet. Their doctrinal creed supersedes the Bible. They are above the Bible, as the Pope calls himself. This is why they have that power over the people. I mean, Catholicism is shining in a big way nowadays, and it's only because it's got black sunshine. That's all it is black sunshine. I mean, the Pope is out there telling people it's okay to be homosexual. He just put an article out. I don't know if I posted it on the site. I think I posted it on the site today underneath the video alert that I put up, where he said you can get divorced now, even if your spouse doesn't commit adultery. You know, you just go ahead, dump her, dump him. The guy doesn't read a Bible, or he's read it, and he hates it. Well, the man's a Jesuit, so that's not hard to figure out. But still, like I said in the article, pray for him, pray for Obama, pray for all these guys. As long as they live and breathe, they still might have a chance to make it home to heaven. And the reason I say might is because I can't read their hearts. Neither can you. So I'll be pointing fingers at them. So you can't read their hearts. Only your Father, your Heavenly Father, can read their hearts. And he knows whether they're reprobates or not. So just continue the prayers for them. You never know. They could be on their deathbed and going, oh man, what have I done? And accept Christ. I mean, look at the thief on the cross. That was the only way that he was going to find Jesus Christ, if he was going to hang on a cross next to him. So the Lord allowed him to take all those silly and crazy steps through life that it eventually would get him condemned to die right next to his son. It's the only way he would have found Jesus. And don't even think for a moment, those of you that are riding a fence that may hear this sermon later, don't think that you could wait until your last day on earth to get things right with God. It's kind of like with some of the Catholics that I've grown up and known throughout my life. Like we used to say to some of the women, don't wait until your hair turns blue before you decide to go forth in Christ. And the reason I say that is because when my wife and I started, right before we left the Catholic Church, we got very heavy in Catholicism. Devout. I mean, we were devout our whole lives. Or at least I was. Her house was a little, or her dad was devout. So I used to sit with him during the Mass sometimes when I'd go with my parents. If I saw her dad, I'd go and sit with him. I liked him. He was a nice guy. And, but it was amazing how when we got devout right before, you know, in other words, we started showing a seriousness in our walk with Christ and didn't realize we were in the wrong church yet. When we went to morning Mass, everybody had all it was mostly women, because the husbands were already dead, and they had blue hair. And what I mean, you've seen it, right? I don't know if they still do this now. I haven't seen it recently because I don't live up near the city no more, or in the city. I'm out here in the boonies, and so I don't get out a lot like I used to, like, you know. But the older women had a tendency that, you know, when their hair would turn pure white, they would, I guess, dye it with a little tint of blue. Why, I have no clue. It looked kind of neat, though, but wasn't natural. And I always thought that was kind of strange when I saw the teenagers doing it in the late 90s, coming up with all these different colors, well, strange colors, unnatural colors for their hair. But that's what always shocked me, is how a lot of people don't bother looking to Christ, especially when they're old. It's an amazing thing to see some of you young people in here. Those are the people that are, you know, that the Lord uses in a mighty way. I remember when I was a teenager growing up, and I knew some people in the high school that I went to. Actually, I was in two different ones, but the first one, it was just really just trial period, because we moved within 6 months of me going there. But I knew a family. There was a couple of families in this. You could tell they were Christians. They dressed differently. They didn't have the double knuckle makeup. Well, they didn't have any makeup. The girls, anyway. And the guys, you know, there wasn't any verbal sewage spewing from their heads. You know, it was just different. Totally different. And I don't really, I looked up to those kids because I remembered my early years, and I felt guilty a lot of times with those kids, because I never mentioned I used to walk in the woods to them. I never did any preaching or evangelizing at all when I was a teenager. I was just too cool for that, you know. So at least I thought I was. But she goes on to say that, and to take the place of the Word of God, he holds out spiritual manifestations like Our Lady of Fatima. 2 years after Ellen White died, that demon started showing up and saying, "Hi, I'm the Queen of Heaven. I'm the Lady of the Rosary. I'm the Virgin Mother. I'm married. She finally says, I'm married, right? It took a while to figure out, to play the people to figure out where their heads are. Are they going to accept this? Are they going to really understand who I am? If I say Mary right off the bat, it's going to really get some people ticked off because Catholicism is, you know, not everybody's cup of tea. So it took about, I don't know, 4 or 5 times the little kids asked her, who are you? Well, asked it, who are you? And finally, the demon revealed that it was playing the part of Mary. She says, here is a channel wholly under his control. By this means, he can make the world believe what he will. The book that is to judge him and his followers, he puts in the shade, just where he wants it. The savior of the world, he makes to be no more than a common man. That's Islam right there, by the way. Jesus is just a prophet. He's not the son of God. Buddha says the same thing. All of them. Even Catholicism does it. You go into a Catholic church, you see a dead Jesus on the cross, a dead Jesus in the arms of mother, or an infant Jesus on the back of St. Christopher crossing some river. Look at Mary. Big as life. Glowing in the dark, in fact, with a halo around her head. Look at Stanislaus. Look at Anthony. Look at all these saints in the Catholic church. They're all alive and breathing, and they look great, and they got kneelers in front of them. They could all help you. But Jesus, dead as a doornail. Can't help you at all. Useless. Dead. We killed him. Because that's more or less what Roman theology is all about. We killed him. Look, here's proof. He's dead, hanging on the cross. Still on the cross. To this day, they still use crucifixes. See, that's the difference between a cross and a crucifix. A cross is just a cross. A crucifix is a cross with Jesus on it. Two different. One's a cross, one's a crucifix. So, she goes on. And as the Roman guard that watched the tomb of Jesus spread the lying report, which the priests and elders put into their mouths to disprove his resurrection, so do the believers in spiritual manifestations try to make it appear that there is nothing miraculous in the circumstances of our Savior's life. I mean, after all, your dead grandma was sitting at the end of your bed the other night, wasn't she? So whoop-de-doo, Jesus came out of the grave. Who cares? Now, I praise God, though, even though I messed with manifestations when I was a teenager, I never looked at it in that way. I never saw that. I still believe Jesus came out of the grave. I never saw my grandmother dead at the edge of my bed either, though. But I saw other stuff that led me to believe they were human that had died. But still, some people do report that they see their dead grandmother or dead brother or dead kid or dead spouse, whatever. Especially in dreams. They always show up in the dreams. Well, of course. A loved one you lost. I mean, I don't... Here's a first-time event for me. It's been 2 weeks since I've had a dream about my dad. After he died, I must have had a dream every single solitary night for at least the first year. No, I'd say 2 or 3 times a week for the first year. Then I got down to about once a week, and now this last 2 weeks was the first time in a long time. But then again, the trials around here have been pretty intense, too, so kind of busy laying around at the pillow when I hit the pillow in my mind. And so, but I love the way the Lord calms me down so I can at least start snoring. you're going to think of your loved ones after they die. Even Sister White, she had a dream about James White after he died. So, doesn't mean he's alive. It doesn't mean he's alive at all. So going on, it says, after thus seeking to put Jesus in the background, they call attention to their own miracles, declaring that these far exceed the work of Christ. And so you got Medjugorje, Fatima, of course, Garibaldi. You got all sorts of places. You even got Hillside, New York, and it's Chicago area. Not Hinsdale, but it's my wife used to hang in this one area when she was a teenager. She lived in the inner city. I can't remember the name of that park. But there was one where they had some kind of a manifestation. And so they got these so-called miracles that these demons are performing and that they claim are more amazing than Jesus. And it's nothing but falderol. It's rosary chains going from aluminum to gold. Well, wow. Nobody's being healed of anything. It's just all sensationalism like Benny Hinn. Jesus' face is showing up in a burnt taco, the side of a tree, a stain on a wall and some overpass in Chicago area where the mayor actually literally had to paint over it because people were out there worshiping this sewage stain thinking it was Jesus. And before someone got hit by a car, because they're out there kneeling in an underpass on an off-ramp, he painted it up. He says, that's just crazy. And the same thing happened in Champaign, Illinois. You know, some of those gas plasma windows where they have that gas inside the glass to prevent light rays from coming through and whatnot. Yeah, it was under a viaduct. Yeah, Fran, that's underpass, overpass. It was an overpass, whatever. That's yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But yeah, because I saw pictures of it and all that. But there was this one hospital in it was on the second or third floor. There was a window that, you know, sometimes when the gas breaks out, it leaks out. And it leaves this white film all over. You can't see through it. It's like a milky window now. And it kind of looked like the Virgin Mary. And so people started worshiping the window from the parking lot in Champaign, Illinois. They had to pull the window. Couldn't get any place to park. With all these candles burning in the parking lot. Or these candles down underneath the viaduct or, you know, like an underpass. It's unbelievable. But people were falling for this because they... I mean, like I've always said, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And they're standing in line to fall for this. So, she goes on. It is true that spiritualism is now changing its form and veiling some of its more objectionable features, is assuming a Christian guise. But its utterances from the platform of the press have been before the public for many years. And in these, its real character stands revealed. These teachings cannot be denied or hidden. I mean, Satan's been saying since the Garden of Eden, ye shall not surely die. And so pastors on pulpits in churches are telling people, when you die, you go straight to heaven. Or... that could be your grandma sitting at the end of your bed. Or when you go to hell, you'll be alive for all eternity. In hell? But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We're going to walk on the ashes of the dead. At the end of the 1,000 years, well, they don't bring those verses up, just like they won't bring any of the verses up that say the secret rapture is a lie, or the 7-year trib's a lie, or the Sunday Sabbath is a lie. There's just certain verses you ain't going to hear from those pulpits. She goes on to say that even in its present form, so far from being more worthy of toleration than formerly, it is really a more dangerous, oh well, that's strange, well, grammar, but it says, because a more subtle deception. While it formally denounced Christ in the Bible, it now professes to accept both. But the Bible is interpreted in a manner that is pleasing to the unrenewed heart, while its solemn and vital truths are made of no effect. Kind of like what Isaiah said when they're going to say in our day, preach unto us smooth things. And this is why you see churches like Joel Osteen just packed to the gills with tens of thousands of people. Because he ain't telling them, you got to repent or you're going to hell in a handbasket. You got to stop this or you got to stop that. You can't be doing this. He don't preach that stuff because that church, he'll be hearing his own voice echo right back to him from the walls because ain't nobody going to be sitting in there in those bleachers. So he has to keep this falderall going to keep, it's like T.D. Jakes says, Jesus is the product. So give them what they want to hear. Like Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 also said. Because they don't want to hear the truth. It's too scary. Preach unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. She goes on. Love is dwelt upon as the chief attribute of God. Gee, where have you heard that before? Nobody goes to hell. God's just too loving. So yeah, homosexuals will get to heaven. Oh, hey, they could even get married. Like Baptist theology, once saved, always saved. I asked a Baptist preacher. So if somebody finds Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and becomes a Christian, they're guaranteed heaven, even if they decide one night they have a bad fight with their wife, they go outside with a submachine gun and cut half the neighborhood down and kill a bunch of people. Oh, and the pastor says, oh yeah, he'll still go to heaven, but he'll be retarded for all eternity. Where is that in the Bible? That's more or less the same way I said it that day. He couldn't find the verse because it's not there. And I showed him, like, maybe at that time I think I only had about 15 verses. Now there's about 20 or 25 verses that say, once under grace, always under grace is a lie. You can lose your salvation. You can jump out of the hand that saves you. No one can pluck you out. but you could jump out on your own. I mean, come on. Jesus says he's going to heaven to make a mansion, right? He's preparing mansions for us. He's not preparing hellfire for us. The hellfire is prepared for the devil and his angels. But there's so many people on this planet that want to jump in and bathe in fire for some stupid reason because they believe the lie over and above the truth. And in today's world, it's really easy to preach the lie because we are in the age of lying. Lies make a lot more money than truth in today's world. Case in point, have you ever gotten some junk mail in your mailbox? And I'm not talking spam. We all know about spam. It's all just not one big lie after another. Junk mail. You get it. You get a letter in your envelope. Open immediately. Dated timing, timed and dated material inside. Very important material. You open it up. It's some guy trying to sell you a warranty for your car. Your car's warranty is about to expire. So you call the guy up and he goes, "Okay, sir, what kind of car do you have?" "Hey, wait a second, man. You sent me the letter. You're supposed to know what kind of car. Why did you tell me that my warranty is about to expire if you don't even know what car I have?" They use lies to get you to open up the envelope. Today is, that's their world. We're in the age of lying. That's their world. We don't embrace it, of course. We're just visiting this planet. We're about ready to go home. So let's see if I can go a little. Let me just see how much further this goes before I, nope, still got another few pages to go. Oh, yeah, so let me go back. Yeah, we'll pick it up again next week right here. I'd rather do it right here, even in its present form so far from being worthy of toleration formally. Yeah, we'll pick it up here. So, amen and amen and amen. I hope and pray you were blessed. If you can get on your knees, please do so. We'll end in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence as we gathered, as you promised. Thank you for blessing us with answered prayer. Thank you for answering no sometimes too, because a lot of times we don't realize we ask amiss. But thank you for educating us there as well. We want to be on the path that gets us home. And so thank you for nudging us left and right to keep us there. And then also for forgiving us when we have a tendency to wander on that path. Thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with that latter rain that has already started falling. Please bless everyone on our prayer list, especially those that we mentioned tonight in the text chat. And please bless everyone that was in attendance tonight. And we especially lift up those souls that used to be part of our number that have been pulled off the path, as the prophecy of the shaking does declare will happen. We hope and pray that you bless them. And even the leaders of the world today that are extremely evil, and we would be tempted to think that they're reprobate. We don't know. We don't know their hearts, but you do. And so we lift them up in prayer too, hoping that they gain heaven as well. Because even the thief on the cross made it there. Well, when heaven starts, he'll be there. And so thank you for blessing us with your presence and giving us what we need to get through this day. And please bless tomorrow's gathering, especially when we do the church service, because we're having the supper. And thank you for blessing us, keeping us, and loving us first. And we love you right back. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King and our Commander in this holy war, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, and thank you also, Father, for keeping the bad storms away. Our power didn't go out. Amen. Amen, amen. Okay.